Thank you for joining me again today. We've had quite a week thus far here on God Is, and we've been learning together about righteousness. We have four key words in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, and righteousness is one of them. It is a word that takes some work to understand, and I have done my best by God's grace to be clear and concise in developing your understanding of what it means for us to be righteous. Has this been clear? Has this been helpful? Can I invite you to write to me and let me know? So that I do not take too much of your time, if this has been clear, just write to me and say that. You can literally send me an email today with the word clear in the subject line. Just drop it right into my inbox and go about your day. Or if you have a question, write the two words not clear or the one word unclear and pop your question in the body of the email. I will respond. As I am sure you understand, your feedback is crucial for me so that I know whether or not you're growing in your knowledge and wisdom of who God is. My email address that will be repeated later is mark@markaswallow.com. I'll spell that for you. mark@markaswallow.com. Please write to me immediately following today's broadcast. The only dumb question will be the question that is not asked. Now, yesterday, in the context of our discussion about righteousness, I said the following. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Jesus said, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." There are some of the most stunning words that Jesus ever said contained in this verse. And Jesus means what he says. We do have to be perfect to be accepted by God. We have to live righteous lives according to what is right as defined by God himself. But the big, I mean our biggest problem in all of our lives is this. We cannot live perfect, righteous lives. In our own strength, this is impossible to do, even with the best of intentions. Unless God makes us perfect. Unless God himself makes us righteous. And that is exactly what God does. God sends his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live the perfect life. Christ is righteous. And then as people, one by one, put their faith in Jesus Christ alone, as we believe in him, we are saved from sin and we are given his perfection, his righteous life. We are being made perfect by Christ so that God can now accept us and we can live with God forever. Because Christ subtracts our sin, we are made sinless. And because Christ adds righteousness, we are made obedient. Because Christ subtracts our sin, we're made sinless. And because Christ adds righteousness, we are made obedient. For those of us with faith in Jesus Christ, he died the death that we will not have to die, and he lived the life that we can never live. And he did this for all who believe in him. Now tell me, isn't this the best news you have ever heard? Today I want to show you from the Bible that Christ lived the perfect, righteous life that we can never ever live. And I'll contrast Christ with us. I'll contrast Christ's life with our lives. And so first, let's read about Christ's perfect, righteous life. If you have your Bible there with you, please turn with me to the beginning of the New Testament and the Gospel according to Matthew. When you get there, go to chapter 4. I want to read 11 verses for us from this true story in the life of Christ. This actually happened, and it happened early on in the ministry of Jesus after John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, which we read about last week. This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to Jesus. This is Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 through 11. Now, I do not have time today to get down into the details of this extraordinary encounter between Jesus Christ and Satan in the wilderness, but I do want to point out here that Jesus faced three temptations to sin that each of us face in our lives today. When Jesus faced the temptation to sin, each time he resisted the temptation and never once sinned. But when Satan brings three similar temptations to you and I, the reality, the truth is that very often we do give in to the temptation and sin. And what are these three temptations? Well, it'll be helpful here if I quote from another passage in the Bible's New Testament, and that is John chapter 2 and verse 16. This is a text that ought to be very familiar to you Christians listening to me today. This is 1 John 2 and verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world." There you have three. We can call them categories of sin. First, the lust of the flesh. Second, the lust of the eyes. And third, the boastful pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Now let's apply 1 John 2:16 back to Matthew chapter 4. The temptation that Satan gives to Jesus according to the lust of the flesh is in verses 2 and 3 of Matthew 4. Let me read those verses to you again. "And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread.'" Flesh. When we are hungry, it is our physical bodies, our flesh, that cries out for food. Please notice that Jesus has not eaten in 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus is as human as you or I. Some of us cannot even get through a morning or an afternoon without a snack. And yet here Jesus is without food for 40 days and nights. He must have been famished. And so Satan plays off the needs of the flesh, you see. And he says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." That's quite the temptation. Jesus is the Son of God, and he could have easily commanded the stones to become bread, but he does not. Jesus does not sin. Jesus lived the perfect, righteous life. We, however, do not live a perfect, righteous life. And so think about your own life today. When you are confronted with the temptation to sin with your flesh, what do you do? Satan is having great success tempting the flesh of the Christian today. Just the other day, I was reading a recently released study that revealed some alarming truths about how many evangelical Christians are addicted to pornography, especially as viewed through their electronic devices, such as mobile phones. What this reveals is that Satan is attacking the flesh, and the flesh is weak. Believers are not able to successfully resist temptation and give in multiple times a day, says this report, to sexual lust. That in turn destroys men, women, and even children. Pornography is never, ever harmless. It's a tool of the devil meant for the total destruction of Christ's people, of all people who participate in it and look at it or watch it. And I give this only as one example of the lust of the flesh. Whereas Jesus resisted temptation in his perfect, righteous life, the rest of us, however, do not live perfect, righteous lives. And this is why we require Christ's righteousness to be given to us. Let's move on to the second category of sin, the lust of the eyes. The temptation that Satan gives to Jesus according to the lust of the eyes is in verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 4. Let me read those verses to you again. This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Whoa. Now Jesus is on a very high mountain and he's looking at, quote, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan attempts to lure Christ to bow down and worship the devil. But again, Jesus resists. Jesus lives the perfect righteous life. He will never, ever fall down and worship Satan. We, however, do not live a perfect righteous life, and so think about your own life today. When you are confronted with the temptation to sin with your eyes, what do you do? Do you have eyes for kingdoms of this world and their glory? Are your eyes set on amassing greater power for yourself? Are you yearning for more wealth? Are you difficult to work with because you're committed to winning every power struggle for a better title and move up the corporate ladder? You'll stop at nothing to get what you want. Do you want more and more things, earthly treasure? How much time do you spend shopping, lusting after material possessions? A struggle that many Christians have is spending gross amounts of time online or watching the home shopping network and buying more and more stuff. All the while, believers ignore the Word of God, fail to spend time in prayer, and never bother to reach out to a neighbor and share with them the love and mercy of God through the gospel. Many of us have the greatest difficulty in resisting the temptation to store up for ourselves earthly treasure, all the while ignoring heavenly treasure. We have lost control of the eyes. Whereas Jesus resisted temptation in his perfect righteous life, the rest of us, however, do not live perfect righteous lives. And this is why we require that Christ's righteousness be given to us. Tomorrow, we'll continue with this contrast between the perfect righteous life of Christ and our imperfect unrighteous lives. So join me tomorrow, for God is...